640 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. Israeli officials are now considering a deal which would allow for several days of pauses in fighting, during which it and Hamas would exchange some of their captives and Israel would allow humanitarian aid into Gaza. More from CBS's Holly Williams in Tel Aviv.
Hamas would be incentivized to release more than 50 hostages, with three Palestinian prisoners, mainly women and children, freed for every hostage who's returned to Israel. There would be a six-hour daily pause in fighting for 4 days, which could be extended, during which Israel's aerial surveillance would be halted. And 300 trucks each day would carry aid, including cooking oil and fuel for hospitals, into the Gaza Strip.
The New York City Police Department says there are growing concerns about security with the escalating violence in Gaza. Details from CBS's Catherine Herron.
CBS News has obtained a security alert suggesting an increasing terrorist threat to New York State. The New York State Intelligence Bulletin points to Israeli operations against Hamas, and specifically that the increase in civilian casualties raises the likelihood that violent extremist threat actors will seek to conduct attacks against targets in the West, with New York State being a focus.
The U.S. military says it has now carried out 2 strikes on facilities in Iraq and that the strikes were in direct response to the attacks against U.S. and coalition forces by Iran and Iran-backed groups. According to a U.S. military statement, Central Command forces conducted what they describe as discreet precision strikes against the 2 facilities in Iraq. North Korea claims it has put a spy satellite into orbit. In response, South Korea says it will suspend a 5-year-old tension reduction agreement and resume frontline aerial surveillance of the North. Regional expert Gordon Chang says Russia is believed to be sharing crucial technology with North Korea.
Probably North Korea will be able to make very, very fast progress with the Russian help.
Authorities say a girl has died, a woman has been rescued, and 5 people are missing after a landslide tore through the southeast Alaska fishing community of Wrangell. Crews are using a cadaver-sniffing dog and heat-sensing drones in the search. Millions of people are expected to hit airports and highways in record numbers over the Thanksgiving holiday. Jennifer Bonham has chosen to travel by train. At Chicago's Union Station, she says she's glad that she did not book a flight.
Definitely more room, more leg room, walk around, nice, you know, cafe cart that you can sit there and look at the scenery while you eat your food and have coffee.
This is CBS News.
Make the hiring process work for you. With Indeed's end-to-end hiring solution, you can attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credits.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
While there are many unexpected factors that can affect the next growing season, farmers have grown to expect the expected with Rank Seed. Our consistent...
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Wisconsin Supreme Court heard arguments Tuesday in a lawsuit challenging the state's legislative maps. Lawyer Mark Gaber, arguing for the petitioners, suggests Wisconsin's political boundaries are some of the most out of proportion in the United States.
This shocks people across the country who look at this map. This is like foreign to what redistricting looks like.
The court will decide whether Wisconsin's maps are drawn to the point of being unconstitutional. The opening weekend of the 9-day gun deer hunt in Wisconsin was slower than last year. The Department of Natural Resources says this year's opening weekend numbers were about 16% lower than last year. Wildlife officials blame mild weather. This year's season started several days earlier than last year's. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
Bucks winning streak continues. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks had no problems on the road, beating the Washington Wizards 142-129. Milwaukee, with a 5-game winning streak, head to Boston to play the Celtics 6:30 tomorrow night. Bobby Portis, in the loud winning locker room, says he enjoys the support of his teammates.
It's fun just to have guys that instill confidence in you on a daily basis. I think we instill confidence in one another to go out there and just hoop and just play free. Obviously, it's just only 14 games in, but I like where we're at.
The Wisconsin Badgers getting ready to play the Minnesota Gophers for the Paul Bunyan Axe coming up on Saturday. That comes after the Badgers' overtime win against Nebraska. Wisconsin head coach Luke Fickell.
We celebrated. We enjoyed. There was a lot of things on Saturday night, but most importantly, that when we walked back in here on Sunday, we knew what it was about, getting the axe and making sure we understand and respect everything about this game and this rivalry.
That's the Badgers head coach Luke Fickell. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Overcast skies tonight with lows around 30. Winds out of the northwest, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Tomorrow, high of 42. 29 tomorrow night, mainly clear. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 32 degrees.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM. Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM. This is The Shaw, WAUK.
Never miss a minute.
It's time for The Rick Smith Show. Now, here is the voice of the working class, Rick Smith.
And welcome, brothers, sisters, working class heroes. This is the Rick Smith Show. Thanks so much for being here today on the big program. Lots to get to, lots to talk about. Sure you've heard from various sources, Joe Biden is ruining Thanksgiving. That's right, Joe Biden is destroying Thanksgiving. According to my right-wing red hat friends, former Iowa Republican Jason Chaffetz was on the F channel saying that he wanted to go buy a turkey today. And he went and he bought one, $90. He said $90 for a turkey. And he says it's all a choice by Joe Biden. Joe Biden made him pay $90 for a turkey. Now, what's interesting, and I love this, because the Twitters had a little bit of fun with Jason Chaffetz today, because Jason tweeted out a picture of, the only way I can describe it is, it's a gated community woke turkey. Raised in California from you know, tiny thing, bottle fed with the finest in European cuisine. How did the picture go? 100% vegetarian fed, raised without antibiotics, no preservatives or artificial ingredients, minimally processed, and no gluten. This is the turkey. This is tender and juicy with old-fashioned flavors, supposedly. Thoughtfully raised on sustainable family farms. And this is the gated community woke turkey that he tweeted out. Because only rich people can afford $4.99 a pound for this specific kind of turkey. And look, he went looking for the most outrageously priced. Again, it's about the messaging. And it's about the outrage. It's about, you know, getting you, yeah, turkey's more expensive. And it is. Not more than it was last year. It's actually down from last year. But it is up from over the pandemic. Now, you go, could the far right and Fox News, could the news cycle get any dumber? And the answer is yes. Just tune in tomorrow. And I'm sure they will have more outrage candy for you. And again, never mind the facts that the prices are coming down because of Biden's policies. But here's the thing. They don't want you to think like that. They're betting all of their marbles on you're going to be angry about paying more at the grocery store and you're going to blame Biden for doing it. Not corporate America. No. Not the people who have been robbing you blind our entire lives. No, it's not them. It's Joe Biden. The guy who has the least amount of control over the prices at the supermarket. Let's blame him. Now, it's interesting. I then saw this, you know, gated community woke turkey. Because again, 100% vegetarian fed. That's not something Republicans are supposed to want. They want, you know, what I'm told is, you know, they want, you know, the good old fashioned American turkey that we can fry in a deep fryer. That's the Republican line. Not this, you know. hand-suckled kind of, you know, groomed turkey, 100% vegetarian fed. No, no, that's not what the Republican folk want. Now, I did find it interesting. Costco. I looked to Costco. Costco has, they've got an entire cooked, pre-made turkey dinner, complete with half a boneless turkey breast, Yukon Gold mashed potatoes, cranberry sauce, fresh vegetables, poultry gravy, and herbed stuffing. All of that, $3.99 a pound. Not the $4.99 for the gated community woke turkey. No, no. And they've cooked it for you at $3.99 a pound. And customers there are not all too pleased because that's still too much. And this is where I keep coming back to. It's about the outrage. People have to be mad about something. And the thing that gets me is all of this is happening as Republicans have harmed families by gutting the child tax credit. Now remember, we have more than doubled child poverty in this country because Republicans refused to extend the child tax credit. That literally put food on the table. That's the thing that gets me. And you just go, when will we wake up? They are now actively seeking to gut food stamps. They're now actively seeking to go after Social Security. Again, making hunger and poverty worse. But it's not about policy. Understand, Republicans, and I've been saying this for the longest time, it's not about policy because they don't have any. There's nothing in the Republican platform. Well, wait a second. They didn't have a platform in the last presidential election. So there's nothing in the platform before there was no platform that's going to help working people. Because I say it all the time. Republicans hate working people. Look at what they do. Bob Casey, Senator from Pennsylvania, he's got a report out. We talked about his greedflation report a couple of weeks ago. He's got another one, another greedflation report titled Stuffing Their Pockets. Big food and agriculture business are making your holiday meals more expensive. And look, they are. And he reports that, you know, while turkey prices have fallen this year, families are still paying higher prices than they did in 2020. Prices for other holiday meal staples like pork, chicken, potatoes rising faster than the headline inflation, earning companies billions and costing consumers as well. He puts out a report that goes into agribusiness companies that, you know, process our foods. Their bottom lines, and I've been saying this for months now, years actually, look at the earnings reports. Look at how much they're profiting off of us. He also says that these same companies have a history of engaging in price fixing, colluding to raise prices, anti-competitive conduct, and touting their ability to raise prices without limit. Now, I go, great, Bob. I love it. Finally, a senator may be thinking about what I've been talking about since the quote unquote end of the pandemic as inflation was skyrocketing. Maybe we should have, I don't know, a Senate commission looking into the gouging. Maybe we should have a senator like Bob Casey out there holding these CEOs accountable. Because understand, Pilgrim's Pride, the second largest chicken producer, Bob in his report points out their net revenue increased by 53% from just 3 years ago. And who pocketed that? Oh yeah, the CEOs and the shareholders. Who paid it? You did. Smithfield, the largest pork producer in this country, which, by the way, is owned by a Chinese company, made $1 billion in 2021. And that wasn't enough. In 2022, saw their profits grow by 34% to $1.4 billion. Who paid that? That's right, you did. I know this is Biden's fault. Biden's fault. Because Biden has a switch that he can just flip in the Oval Office to go, hey, CEOs, raise prices. Potato prices. Everyone loves potatoes. Mashed potatoes, scalloped potatoes, chopped up potatoes, French fried potatoes. Oh, love it. The price of potatoes, 60% over last year. And you go, how's that possible? Well, Lamb Weston Holdings, the largest frozen potato provider in the U.S., they just reported in their most recent quarter 111% net income increase compared to last year. And what did their CEO say was the cause of this? What did the CEO attribute to this massive soaring profit? Well, quote, the carryover benefit of pricing actions initiated last year. In regular speak and working people speak. They raised prices. They raised prices on you and me. They're gouging us. This is a massive redistribution of wealth. But Jason Chaffetz, with his gated community woke turkey, it's all Biden's fault. It's all Biden's fault. Biden did this. And understand, what we're going to hear over the next several months is Republicans continually putting the inflation at Joe Biden's feet. When the reality is this has everything to do with the pandemic, has everything to do with shutting the economy down and then flipping it back on as people had more money to go into the marketplace with, I know, Joe Biden gave them more money. Which is ludicrous, because Bob Casey also talks about the fact that the first year of the pandemic, after the end of the pandemic, Biden's first year there, the inflation that skyrocketed, all of it attributed to corporate America. All of it. And again, the biggest massive redistribution of wealth in my lifetime from working people to corporatists and CEOs and shareholders and the very wealthy. And what I don't understand is why we're not losing our minds. Why we're not angry over the fact that we've got a Republican Party that more than doubled childhood poverty because they refused to allow the child tax credit to continue, are right now seeking to gut food stamp programs and go after granny and Social Security. And somehow this is how we're going to fight inflation off of kicking the poor when they're down. But yeah, that's it. That is their plan. We're going to lower wages. We're going to go after those workers. We're going to crush those unions because, you know, those wage increases, they're going to cut into profits. They are going to cut into profits, and we can't have that because profits, they are sacrosanct. Now, there's the other part of this that, Jason Chaffetz got me thinking about with his gated community woke turkey. At $4.99 a pound, raised in California, vegan, 100% vegan raised turkey. Brings me to the point of sustainable farming, of a food supply system that is not corporate dominated. Maybe Republicans, maybe Jason Chaffetz, what you should be complaining about, what you should be losing your ever-loving freaking mind over, is the kind of consolidation that you have championed, that you have allowed to happen in this country, that's given these companies outweighed power to raise prices whenever they feel like it. There is no competition in our marketplace when you have a handful of companies controlling every industry. And it's getting worse. Things are getting more consolidated. And I keep going, I visited the inaugural site of Teddy Roosevelt. And I'm going, who is going to be this generation's Teddy Roosevelt? Will it be Bob Casey? Will these reports be the beginning of Bob Casey going, you know what, we got to break some of this stuff up. There's no competition in these industries. And oh, by the way, should we have Chinese companies owning a large portion of our food supply? Should that be happening? Maybe we should be having another conversation. Again, what I think Joe Biden is actually doing. And this is what's got all of those people freaking out from inside the Democratic Party and out. They like neoliberalism. They like corporate dominance. Maybe that's the conversation we should be having. You know, if turkeys are $4.99 a pound, we should find out. If it is a gated community woke turkey, which I understand that's highly labor intensive, you got to pay someone with a bottle to feed them by hand and, keep them, cuddle them at night to keep them warm. I get it. But for the rest of us who can't afford the gated community woke turkeys, maybe we have a competitive market that allows people to enter the market, to produce what we need locally. Maybe not have one giant factory. Maybe do some sustainable things right here at home, in our backyards. Just my thought. Want to hear yours? Email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. I'm going to take a quick break. Right back. Stick around. You listen to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
We We are AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees. We represent 700,000 federal and D.C. government workers who are the vital threads of the fabric of American life. We support our nation's military. We take care of our nation's veterans. We protect our nation's borders. We respond to our nation's crises and natural disasters. We provide services to our nation's seniors. The American Federation of Government Employees. We work for America.
The phone lines are open. Give Rick a call at 1-866-416-RICK. That's 1-866-416-7425. Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So from Bob Casey's report, for the average Pennsylvania family, costs have gone up $3,194 in 2021 and $3,546 in 2022, thanks to corporate profiteering. And that's the number that Casey's report has come up with, and they've got the facts to back it up in it. I suggest people take a look at this stuff. You can Google it. It's titled Stuffed. I love the title, and I wish Democrats would do more of this. Greedflation reports stuffing their pockets, how big food and agricultural businesses are making your holiday meals more expensive. We'll get links out on social media. Let's quick go to the phones. We got Steve on line one in Chicago. Steve, how are you today, buddy?
I'm fine, thank you. And so you've touched on a number of things here. And what happened during COVID was that, you know, there was a massive discussion with regard to inflation. For obvious reasons, and because that narrative was so pervasive, you know, the private sector caught on to that and said, hey, you know what, if X used to be a dollar, and now inflation has driven it to $1.20, well, heck, who's going to know the difference if we take it up another 20 cents and make it $1.40 even? Well, they're all bombarded with the same messages that everything's skyrocketing. So, you know, who's going to know that, you know, half of the increase is actually us just gouging them?
Yep.
And that's exactly what they did. And so, you know, I mean, there's organic inflation that came out of that sort of thing. I mean, you know, when you have supply chain issues, obviously there's going to be a problem. There's going to be less goods. There's going to be more people chasing them. As we came out of the pandemic, you had all of this pent-up demand. So especially if you're middle, upper middle class, it was over $1 trillion that all of a sudden exploded into the marketplace of people wanting things coming out of the pandemic. Well, for obvious reasons, less things, more money. Okay, things are going to go up because obviously you're going to sell to the person who's willing to pay you the most. You're going to charge the most. Understandable. But this is something different than what we're talking about here in terms of gouging people and just artificially inflating the prices because you can. Because the rest of the market, because it's a small market of people, of suppliers on a lot of these things, and hey, a couple of other companies are charging outrageous prices, so can we. And that's the reality. And unfortunately, it only goes one way when we have this discussion. Anything that, you know, can harm the Democratic Party or Joe Biden. Today, when they had this discussion, they do this almost every year, about what Thanksgiving is going to cost you. And it turns out, you know, the Fox was covering this as well. And when they got to that part of the press conference where, hey, you know what, this turns out to be the fourth least expensive Thanksgiving in relative to income in America. Fox cut away from that because, oh, God forbid that, you know, Americans should start to realize that, you know what, inflation is getting better. It's not as bad as it was 2 years ago and last year. And, yes, we are moving in the right direction. We're not there yet. But, you know, we are, again, no one wants to admit that going into 2024, God forbid, that, you know, things should start to look better than they did. Because, you know, then you're forced to give Biden credit, and that's the last thing they want to do. So, yeah, you know, it's the same old narrative. And, you know, the only thing you can think to take away from this, as you pointed out, with regard to the child tax credit and so many other things, is, you know, when we extended that during COVID, when we gave people, sent people money and gave them some additional benefits, you know, government actually doing something to help people. Yeah, the fear among conservatives in this country wasn't so much that that money was going to go out. They didn't like that, but a lot of their constituents got it as well. It's that, God forbid, that Americans should recognize that, you know what, government can help us. Government can help people who are in need of health care. And that's why we extended Medicaid. Government can help to actually send money to people so that they don't starve and can help pay their bills. You know, the government can do a lot of things. And then what happened, Americans get used to it in the same way that we got used to, the Affordable Care Act. The Republicans were scared to death of it. Now, who on the right is running against the Affordable Care Act or the provisions within the Affordable Care Act? Nobody. Because exactly what they feared happened. Americans came to like it, came to embrace it, and you'd have to be an idiot if you were a Republican to run against that today. So, you know, this is what they're fearful. They're fearful that we're going to become like Western Europe because, you know, there's nobody in the streets in Western Europe demanding our educational system, our social welfare system, our health care system. Nope, nobody. No protest movement. Nobody saying, you know what, we need a giant free market reform in Western Europe because that would make us all better off. Nope, those don't exist. There's a reason why.
Yeah. No, and you brought up, you know, you'd have to be an idiot. And I immediately I thought back to Dwight Eisenhower and his letter to his brother Edgar. He said, you know, anybody who would come out against labor unions, unemployment, Social Security, the Farm Bill, they wouldn't be heard from in our history. But there are a few, you know, Texas oil millionaires and that, but their numbers are negligible and they are stupid. But I've been saying for a while, stupid is running the Republican Party right now.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly what they're hoping to do in terms of framing this stuff. So it's got to be that the things that the Republican Party is responsible for that are harming you in your life, we've got to deflect that and turn it into Democrats created that for you.
Yep.
I mean, you know, no matter how we do, because let's face it, there are a lot of really stupid voters in the Republican Party. I'm not saying that Democrats don't have their share, but relative to Republicans, doesn't even come close. I mean, you know, whatever narrative, you can tune on to some of the social media sites and find people, Gordon Kepler and others, who love to, you know, have fun with this. They'll go to some Trump rally, whatever, and they'll ask these people these questions, and it's like, it'll turn out, well, you do know that that's the Republican position that you're against.
Right.
they're just dumbfounded, you know, because, again, they've been fed this nonsense, and they really don't understand how it is that they're there in opposition to something that benefits them and which Democrats support, which would benefit them. But no, you know, like I said, it's just, you know, they've been lied to. They regurgitate the lie because they live in an echo chamber. If you listen to Fox all day, you wouldn't know any better.
That's true.
I can't really blame some of them, you know.
Right there with you, Steve.
You just don't know any better.
Right there. Appreciate it, man. Thanks so much.
Take care.
As always, good stuff. And look, you know, we talked about Nebraska, you know, pursuing paid sick days. And, you know, a solidly red state that their legislature had voted down numerous times. You got citizens out there pushing for a ballot initiative. I'm right there with you. But here's the thing. Just today, lawsuit, General Mills and Nestle. Evidently, a jury in Illinois decided that those two companies have been overpaying for eggs for years. Evidently, the nation's largest producers and two trade groups evidently have been found to have conspired to restrict the supply. The Bloomberg article says a U.S. District Court in Northern District of Illinois, a jury of 9 men, 3 women, said the two largest egg producers, Calmaine Foods Incorporated and Rose Acre Farms, along with two industry trade groups, will have to pay damages to the food companies. The jury is going to decide this at the end of the month, I guess. The case came out in favor of the food producers, obviously. The lawyer, this is my part, this is the part that I love the most. The lawyer, a guy named Brandon Fox of Jenner and Block Partners, said, "We're incredibly pleased by the jury's decision. For the first time, the defendants have been held liable for their antitrust violations. We are now going to turn our attention to the damages phase." The damages phase. The producers are going to get damages. They got cheated. Question. What about you and me? You and me, we get nothing. You know who gets zip out of this? Us. Now, the companies, they're going to do fine. They're going to get damages. Does that trickle down to the consumers who have been gouged? To the consumers who have been harmed through higher prices? And where are our antitrust champions in this day and age to hold these companies accountable. Where are they? Where are the folks who are going to go after these companies and these CEOs? And again, you know when this was? This was back in 2004 through 2008. This lawsuit was filed in 11. So gouging, not something new. Price fixing, not something new. Collusion, not something new. Screwing consumers, well, that's the order of the day. When do we get our decision? That's the question. I want to hear your thoughts.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. A full deal is getting closer in Israel to pause fighting with Hamas that includes the release of some hostages held by militants. CBS's Margaret Brennan.
During that time, Israel will have to release three Palestinians from their prisons or detention centers for every one hostage freed by Hamas.
Security concerns in New York due to the fighting between Israel and Hamas. CBS's Catherine Herring.
Intelligence Bulletin emphasizes that anti-Palestinian chatter has also been observed on multiple social media channels, with pro-Israeli advocates calling for violence against Palestinians and those who support them.
U.S. Central Command says U.S. forces conducted discrete precision strikes against two facilities in Iraq in direct response to the attacks against U.S. and coalition forces by Iran and Iran-backed groups, including the one in Iraq yesterday, which involved use of a close-range ballistic missile. CBS News Brief. I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Wisconsin Supreme Court heard arguments Tuesday in a lawsuit challenging the state's legislative maps. Marquette University's John Johnson says the court will decide if so-called islands outside district borders are constitutional.
So they proposed a map that kept municipalities in a single district, even when the municipality was composed of pieces that didn't all touch each other.
Johnson spoke with the Wisconsin Eye Public Affairs Network. Conservation groups are asking Governor Evers to block a proposed land exchange to build a new private golf course along Lake Michigan. Under the plan, the state would trade around 7 acres of the Black River Forest for about 9 acres of Kohler Company property. The groups say that the deal would set a bad precedent for public land use. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Maybe we'll have a cookie trade.
I like that idea. I like that a lot.
We'll eat them while we're on the show.
Because everyone loves listening to people on the radio eat.
Calvin, what's your favorite cookie?
Shout out to my mom's. She makes these sour cream cookies around Christmas time, and they're really good.
My mouth just watered.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Don't change the station, but do watch out for deer, would ya? You know, they're running around all willy-nilly. It is the Cripescast with me, Charlie Behrens, on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Overcast skies tonight with lows around 30. Winds out of the northwest, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Tomorrow, high of 42. 29 tomorrow night, mainly clear. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 32 degrees.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Rewild.org.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So, Minnesota Representative Dean Phillips. I love Dean Phillips. He's running for president. He's got a new super PAC. He's got a whole bunch of stuff. Evidently, he has released some attack ads on Biden and Biden's electability. Have you heard? You know, Joe Biden's old. Maybe you've heard. You know, he turned 81 the other day. He's old. Maybe you heard that. I don't know. Maybe you heard Joe Biden's old, because that seems to be the narrative that the right keeps pushing. And oh, by the way, Dean Phillips as well. And maybe you're here to share some thoughts on, is he right? Is it possible? I don't know, but that's why I've asked our good friend, former Alabama Senator Doug Jones, to share some thoughts. Doug, thanks for taking time for us.
Always great to be with you, Rick. I hope all your listeners have a great Thanksgiving coming up.
I hope so as well. So have you heard? Joe Biden's old.
You know, that was mentioned the other day in some birthday posts that I saw. I'm just shocked. I mean, the guy that I've been around, you know, he's ready to roll. He's outworking everybody.
And this is what I say. Look, I don't care if the guy can't get a sentence out. The guy shows up and does the work. You know, I call him Jelly Bucket Joe for a reason. He shows up with his jelly bucket. He's out there doing the work. And look, and here's my problem. I don't think we're talking enough about what he's actually done, especially for working people. I look at what the NLRB's done. I look at what the Department of Labor has done. I look at all of these policy pushes that are making it easier for workers to organize, making it easier for them to fight for better wage hours conditions, all this stuff. And I don't think we're talking about it enough.
No, you know, look, we're not, and we're not trying to, we depend on the campaigns to do these things, Rick, but we need to be talking about it out there too. We need to be constantly reminding people that Joe Biden has promised to build an economy from the ground up and the middle out, and that's exactly what he's doing, and that benefits workers. And he is a pro-union president. You've seen him time and time again. And what a lot of people, and I know this is a union show, and you know me, I'm a union kind of guy too. But the fact of the matter is, all of those union deals that he's pushing, all of those things help all workers, not just the union workers. It helps all workers across the board. Honda, Toyota are going to raise their wages of their employees, their non-union employees, based on the UAW agreement with the big three. You know, look, Joe Biden outmaneuvers. He has got the relationships. He's got the credibility. You know, I get so frustrated listening to all these people like Dean Phillips talking about how, you know, that he's just too old. He's this old and that. Let me tell you something. This guy's got the relationship. He's got the creds. Only Joe Biden can keep us from having a war in the Middle East that explodes across the entire world. Only Joe Biden can keep democracy and our allies intact to protect against Vladimir Putin. Because of his experience, because of his credibility and relationships that he's got with so many people. And I think that folks are overlooking that, and they're looking strictly at, you know, look, people have experiences with folks who are elderly. There's no question about that. But everybody's different. This guy is not trying out to be the starting quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles up there. He is not trying to run a marathon. He is the president of the United States, and that requires a different kind of work, a different kind of work ethic that he has, and he's got a lot of good people surrounding. So, yeah, you and I, so many people, all of your listeners, we need to be talking about it constantly, the jobs that he's brought to this country, the things that he's doing for the working people, the working men and women, from one end of this country to the other.
Now, I'm sure you've seen the messaging, the new messaging shop, this blueprint group funded by Reid Hoffman, the co-founder of LinkedIn, who's saying, look, you know, Joe Biden's tactically choosing the wrong path. He's talking about jobs. He's talking about income. He's not talking about inflation because that's where people are at, you know, because everyone's got jobs now. But it's the inflation that Republicans have grabbed onto. I don't know if you saw Jason Chaffetz. He evidently bought a $90 gated community woke turkey, 100% vegetarian fed turkey, $4.99 a pound, and complaining that Joe Biden made him do it.
Yeah, I know. It's really laughable. And some of these folks, you know, look, you know, Rick, inflation is hitting everybody. And the president is talking about that. He has been talking about that. But more importantly, he's been working. Inflation has just not hit the United States of America. People, you listen to these Republicans and some of these folks, you would think that only within our borders of the continental United States, plus Alaska and Hawaii, that there's inflation. The United States has had perhaps the lowest inflation of any of the industrialized countries, the lowest, and it continues to go lower. We've actually seen prices get lower than they were, you know, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, deflation a little bit. But the fact of the matter is, the folks got to remember that the jobs that Joe Biden has created, the increase in the wages that he's worked for so hard to try to stop that income gap, we've been able to weather inflation better than we could have ever done under any other president. And that doesn't make it any easier in the sense that people still think prices are too high. But we're working on that. But the fact is, if this economy is rolling under Joe Biden, and that's what people need to know. They've got jobs. They've got good jobs. They've got good paying jobs. And those are going to continue. Our domestic product right now is at an all-time high.
How come we don't hear that enough, though? I mean, I keep saying, you know, look, you know, things are not as bad and as dire as the Fox News and the Red Hat Brigade keep throwing out at us. Because as you pointed out, wages have gone up faster than inflation. This year, Thanksgiving is going to cost less than it did last year. You know, all of these things are pointing us in. We're going in the right direction. And yet we have a media culture, the outrage machine that just feeds us, well, Jason Chaffetz bought a $90 turkey because Joe Biden made him do it.
Yeah, and part of that outrage machine, Rick, let's just face it, is not right-wing media. It is absolutely propaganda. They want to talk about what they want to relive the 2020 election rather than the talking about prices coming down, gasoline prices coming down. They want to talk about the lie of elections being stolen instead of talking about the fact that jobs are being created, 14 million jobs since Joe Biden took office. And if the mainstream media falls into the same trap, they don't know how to deal with that. Even the mainstream media that you see will give the jobs report, but they'll always say this, but XYZ, but people still don't feel it, but there's some little twitch that they see. So everything good has one or two negatives that somebody is finding. And the fact is, you know, look, I think that the president's team is going to be really out there. People are just now, I think, going to start turning their attention toward the choices. Remember, the presidential election is still a year away, and people are they're looking at a lot of things going on. But the fact is that it's just now in the next couple of months you're going to see the choices between Donald Trump and Joe Biden.
Yeah, no, I hope you're right. I hope they do this quickly. Listen to the Rick Smith Show. We're with former Alabama Senator Doug Jones. You know, because here's the thing: Trump only surrounded himself with the very best people. Or if you asked him, as we can tell you, his former chief of staff, John Kelly, was quoted by the Washington Post saying, "What's going on in the country that a single person thinks this guy would still be a good president when he said the things he said and done the things he's done? It's beyond my comprehension he has the support he has." Cassidy Hutchinson, an aide to Trump, said that, "I think everybody should vote for Joe Biden if they want our democracy to survive." So the very best people that Trump put in the positions of power are saying, "Hey, this guy's horrible. We shouldn't even be considering this." And yet all we keep hearing about is, did you hear, Doug? Joe Biden's old.
Right. That's all they got, Rick. That's all they got right now. And again, people have those concerns. They've got those issues. And I don't fault anybody for having a concern about an 81-year-old running for president of the United States. It's a legitimate. Joe Biden has said that. But the fact is, this is going to come down to a choice. It's going to come down to a choice between the chaos and the autocracy that Donald Trump is not only just talking about, he's trying to deliver on it every day. If he gets elected, it's going to be a scary situation versus the experience, the credibility, the jobs, everything that Joe Biden has done. And the, you know, everybody keeps talking about, you know, well, Joe Biden's just moved too left. Joe Manchin said they just moved too left. Creating jobs is some left-wing conspiracy? I mean, it makes no sense. But when people start looking, Rick, and start comparing, those polls will turn around.
I hope so. But I'm glad you brought that up because, you know, I keep saying the calls from within in the House saying that Biden is too old are the neoliberals who want to go back to before the pandemic. One of the things that I've been saying, and I believe this, and you could agree or disagree, I think that Biden's industrial policy, first time we've had an industrial policy that I know of in my lifetime, to reshore manufacturing and begin moving us back towards domestic production for domestic consumption. I think there are a lot of people who don't want that. I think there are a lot of people who don't want the tariffs on China, probably the only thing I agreed with Donald Trump on. I think there are a lot of people who want to go back to the neoliberal years of whatever corporate America wants, corporate America gets, and screw those working people. I think Biden is moving us in, and I think he thinks his legacy is a different direction. At least I hope. I'm curious your thoughts.
No, I totally agree with that. I know that he believes his legacy is in a completely different direction. Look, this guy came up as a working class Joe, you know, and that's where his heart is. It's always been that way. This is nothing new with Joe Biden. He's been this way for a long, long time, ever since I've known him. And that's been damn near over 40 years now, actually. So with that kind of upbringing, with that kind and the experience that he's had, he is going to care about those folks. Not that he's an enemy of business. I don't think anybody should say that or think that. Not at all. He does want businesses to pay their fair share of taxes, like the working men and women of this country do, but he wants those businesses to thrive. That's why he is bringing some of this inshore, but he wants that to also filter down. That's the only part of trickle-down economics that Joe Biden wants, and that is from the boardrooms and the C-suites down to the floor of the manufacturing. That needs to come down. That's what he's been working on.
No, absolutely. And it comes back to the question I keep asking. What good is having an economy? What do you want an economy for? What are the goals of the economy? Is it to feed the handful of captains of industry and make shareholders wildly wealthy? Is it to help working people support their families and their communities? Which side are you on? I mean, and for me, it's that simple. And there can be a way for both sides to coexist. We've done it before, but I think that question has to be fundamentally answered. What good is an economy if you have a large percentage of people unable to participate, hungry at night, in poverty, dropping out of the workforce because the jobs just don't pay? What good is having that economy?
No, you're right. But you also said that you can have things. You can have thriving businesses. You can have shareholders.
Sure. Look, Doug, as a union guy, I want profitable businesses.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You want profitable business. You just want to make sure some of that comes down and that these workers can share in that success. Because at the end of the day, that's what's driving it. And that's Joe Biden's philosophy. That's where he is moving. It's what he's done from day one. Even when this economy was stalling, still in the pandemic, trying to come out of it, even when people were screaming, oh, we're going to go into a recession. We can't do this. We can't do that. He was staying the course, and look what's happened. We haven't seen that recession. It has continued to produce jobs, and our domestic product is still up. So that's, I think, been another thing that's been lost about this administration, that they had a plan. They believed in that plan and they've stuck with it. They've not panicked. They've worked to make sure that what they did delivered for the American worker in this country,
yeah,
and for families across this country.
No, I mean, we're in this moment. I think in no other point in my lifetime, and I know we say this every election cycle, this one's the most important ever, but I think we're really in a very clear moment of which side are you on, especially when you look at the two presumptive nominees in 2024, Donald Trump and Joe Biden. You've got Donald Trump, it's all about retribution. It's all about revenge. It's all about payback. We're going to bring back patronage. We're going to do all this stuff and move in a very authoritarian way. And then you got Biden, who's just, like I said, showing up, doing the work, And I think changing our economy in a way that work is rewarded. And I say this every time a new president comes into office. I hope this is the guy who returns reward to work. And I think Biden has taken that to heart.
Yeah. And the other thing about Trump that I think people have to, I do hope people are paying attention to the things he is saying about the retribution, about locking people up. This is not new. You know, remember he said the same thing about Hillary Clinton. This is a guy who's under indictment, who's now is just a pure revenge tour. But that's a dangerous way to be. The language that he is using now, Rick, is not only anti-democratic. It's dangerous. It is dangerous for the well-being of people and their personal safety. You see it every day where workers, election workers are getting threatened. Members of Congress getting threatened. The rhetoric and the potential for political violence is really, it's a ticking time bomb out there, I believe, if we don't try to do something and get people on both sides of the aisle to just tone that down a good bit. And it starts with people calling out Trump and his rhetoric and what he is trying to incite.
Let me ask you this. As a former federal prosecutor, these gag orders that Trump's fighting. Are you on the side of gag orders? Because I feel uncomfortable with them. I don't like the limit speech, but I'm curious, as a former federal prosecutor, is it something they can do, something they should do? Because as you pointed out, he's saying some pretty incendiary things.
Yeah, you know, look, I'm exactly where you are. And if you notice, not a single gag order was entered initially. The presumption is that they shouldn't need a gag order. We've got free speech. But yet when you are in that position, there are certain lines that you cannot cross with regard to that free speech. You cannot threaten the court, the employees of the court. You cannot do things that put people's lives in jeopardy. And it's not just that. They're looking ahead to a potential jury that's going to be sitting in judgment as well. And so there is a place in this country. There's not only a legal place, but it's the right thing to do to protect the integrity of the system and to protect the individuals that are involved in these cases. I think you have to have them. I think that ultimately the Court of Appeals and the Supreme Court will affirm some gag order with Trump. Based on his prior statements, they may tighten it up a little bit and not be very broad and make it about specific threats or comments about individuals, not about the case itself. Right. I just think that that's where it's going to go. And I think it's needed in this case, quite frankly.
I see it the other way. I see they're going to put that on there and he's immediately going to break that to push the envelope because that's what he does. He wants to be the martyr. He wants his supporters to believe he's the martyr.
I didn't say that he wouldn't break it. What I said was that the court may narrow it a little bit and make it very specific. Which, by the way, is the best thing that could happen, because if he did break a very narrow order, it's going to be clear. There won't be any question about it, and there will be consequences. There is no question there will be. In my mind, there will be consequences.
Before I let you go, we saw just the other day the passing of Rosalynn Carter. I wanted to get your thoughts on her passing. And, unfortunately, I keep watching the moments going by to see when President Carter goes as well, because, we've seen those stories when one goes, the other follows. But I wanted to get your thoughts before the Thanksgiving break.
She was a magnificent lady. She was she really transformed the position or office of First Lady by being a partner with President Carter, by being an advocate for mental health and so many other things. I think that and being right there at his side, not only through his political career, but in his post-political career, doing those incredible things for humanity. And that's what both Rosalynn Carter and Jimmy Carter, I think, are going to be remembered for. They're just basic decency and humanity and care for their neighbors. And if we had more like that, Rick, what a wonderful place this would be.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. But Doug, I appreciate the time. Thanks so much as always. Have a great holiday. I look forward to having you back again real soon.
You too, buddy. Take care.
Thanks so much. Our good friend Doug Jones. Want to hear your thoughts? Email me, Rick at therickSmithshow.com. Quick break. Right back. Stick around. Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in Two. On this day in labor history, the year was 1945. That was the day that 320,000 United Auto Workers went out on strike against General Motors. The strike was part of a wave of work actions that washed over the country after World War II. Workers were growing more and more frustrated that company profits were soaring while workers' wages remained stagnant. During the war, most unions had abided by no strike pledges. But once the war was over, workers wanted their fair share of the growing American economy. In just 1 year, 5 million workers participated in more than 4,500 strikes. The GM strikers demanded a 30% pay increase. Walter Reuther, president of the UAW, also insisted that the company could meet this demand without raising the prices of their vehicles. He asked the company to open their books so workers and the public could see the full details of the company's profits. GM refused. They characterized Reuther as a socialist for even making such an outrageous request. During negotiations, Harry Cohen, the GM Assistant Director of Personnel, told President Reuther, quote, "Why don't you get down to your size and get down to the type of job you're supposed to be doing as a trade union leader and talk about money you would like to have for your people and let the labor statesmanship go to hell for a while." The GM strike lasted 113 days. The workers won a 17.5% pay increase and improvements to vacation and overtime. But they did not get to look at GM's books or gain any say on how GM vehicles were priced. Labor History in Two brought to you by the Illinois Labor History Society and The Rick Smith Show. For more information, go to laborhistoryin2.com, like us on Facebook, and follow us on the Twitters at Labor History in Two.
Listening to The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
You know, as I said, we're in this moment. Which side are you on? Are you on the side of someone who does want to bring, you know, retribution and revenge and patronage and all of the horrible things of the past right front and center and destroy democracy? Or do you want somebody who's been showing up doing the work? And as I've been telling my working class friends, the reality is you got no better friend right now than Joe Biden in that White House. He is taking on the legacy of the last 40 plus years of neoliberalism. And I'm thrilled with where we've gone so far. Is there more to be done? Absolutely, without question. And probably the first person to tell you that would be Joe Biden. Let's quick go to the phones. Got Alice on line one. Alice, what's on your mind?
Couple of things. First off, if you're paying $4.99 for a turkey, and then you're going to complain about it, then you're just a flat-out twit. Frankly, I buy mine when they go on sale at Shop and Save or Giant Eagle or whatever. So, you know, it's just something to cause an issue about.
Yeah, no, and you gated community woke turkey. Not all of us have access. We can't even find those in my neighborhood.
Well, I don't think we have them in mine either, you know. Like I said, you've got to be a little bit like Dr. Oz. You know, gee, look what I did. I'm so high and mighty, I did this. So, you know, but hey, that's the uppity Republicans for you. And the second thing I wanted to say was, so Joe Biden just turned 81. My dad passed away when he was 84, and he passed away from multiple myeloma. It had come back, and he was dead within like 4 months. But until he was 83 years old, he was out putting up hay, building fences, and everything else. So it doesn't bother me that Joe Biden is 81 years old. He's energetic. He's getting the job done. And let's face it, Trump might be a few years younger, but he's decades more senile. But y'all have a happy Thanksgiving.
You as well, Alice. I appreciate it. Thanks so much. No, I mean, look, the reality is he's old. And I'll be the first to admit that. And he does struggle, speaking. And I do, too. I just stuttered there a little bit myself. I do find it interesting that our right-wing media has as a major problem with that. Because they know they can mock it. And as I said yesterday, it's one of those things that makes me think back to the FDR years. You know, what would they have said about FDR? What kind of horrible, evil, mean-spirited, what kind of stuff would come out of their headlines about someone like the FDR? And you think about what he was able to do for this country and the policies that he moved forward on. I know, they're all policies that Republicans hate. Yes, you're right. You're right. It's all policies that Republicans want to destroy and have been working to destroy.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.